Wayne, good morning.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thanks very much, Wayne. So looking at the strike situation, firstly, could you explain to us what actually are some of the workers' demands?
Workers' demands are including protection of the public sector and public sector workers against privatisation, and the expansion of contract labour, which is the most vulnerable form of labour, against imagine if people are the permanent workers with conditions. They're trying to fight that permanent workers are just turned into contract workers. They put up a list of 20 demands on the 1st of January, and they were looking at universal social security for all workers, a set minimum wage, assured pensions, but above all, they are fighting that the current laws of the Modi government are pro-corporate sector, and that affects workers and their rights. But above all, they feel that the Modi government is mortgaging the country to corporate interests, and the workers representing the great majority of India do not want to tolerate this.
I imagine that's a concern that's felt by a great many workers around the world.
Yes, I think one of the things to see here is that the issues affecting the Indian workers are in many ways reflect struggles that have happened in the labour movement within Australia and around the world over the last 20 years of what we call neoliberal reform, which is to give free slather to the big corporations against the rights of workers, and even smaller firms in India, say farmers, independent contractors, are all affected by these sorts of policies. So yes, it's very relevant to many of us to see how these workers and unions respond in India.
The biggest strike in world history, 200 million people. I mean, that's a fair old chunk of the workforce, even in a country as populous as India. Just what kind of impact is this having in a larger sense, I suppose you might say, on the Indian economy and the like?
I think you should see this as a response to the effects that current policies are having on the Indian economy, especially as it affects the great majority of the population. At the moment, I saw something recently that where there were 2 billionaires in India in the mid-1990s, I think they're now about 140 billionaires. So the idea of saying the reforms are a great success, which from one angle they are, India's averaged high economic growth over the last 10 years or so, up to 7%, almost like the Chinese figures in its heyday. But it's been at a great expense and ruthless exploitation of a great part of the population. This rally has been joined just not by unionised workers, it's been supported by farmers, it's been supported by the informal labour sector, and I think this is where you get the idea. Do a rough calculation, 200 million workers on strike in India would be virtually the same as if we had 3 million workers on strike in Australia. It's quite as you said, it is a large country, but it's still a massive strike in relation to the total Indian population.
I understand some of the party leaders of the Communist Party of India have been arrested in relation to this strike, which is a little bit telling, I suppose, on the government response. And just how influential is the Communist Party of India in the country?
Often in a lot of third world countries, what called the National Democratic Revolution, you see social democrat, like India was the Congress Party, which is an equivalent of a Labour Party, at the striving in the fight for independence back in the late 40s. You often get communist parties also a part of that. Communist parties, as always, there's a number of them, but have frequently and usually had representation in the parliament as minor parties at least. State like Kerala has actually had Communist Party government, state government, for a great part of its history, post-World War II history, since independence. So there's a fairly significant presence of communists within the Labor movement and also in Parliament. So you can argue that they've had that effect. But I think what you also should see this as basically is organised by the unions, within which, of course, there are communists. But it's been basically organised at the angle of a confederation of all the various trade unions in India that have met, brought up their demands and put them forward. So there is an influence. The communists are sort of a part of the larger labour movement.
And apart from these sort of arrests and the like, have we seen much other response from the Modi government in terms of the demands? Have they gave any indication in terms of the demands?
I think it's a bit early to say yet, but one of the reasons this has happened, there was a national strike previously organised by the same Confederation of Trade Unions in 2016. And what has happened was the Modi government has basically ignored what happened with that strike and ignored the demands of it. So this has been a little bit more hard line this time. In a sense, it's a bit early to say there's some substantial concessions made by the Modi government. But what's going on, because the elections are coming up in India shortly, I think it's the union movement and the popular movements have basically declared war on the Modi government because of its outrageous, elitist, neoliberal policies that are frankly screwing a lot of the people in India. So the unions are seeing this as a success in the terms of the extent to which they mobilised such a large proportion of the population. They are resolved to keep this action up if there is no concessions from the Modi government, but they're also raising increasingly a lot of more openly political as opposed to economic demands, which is basically trying to, I suppose, get the Modi government over the barrel coming into the coming elections and extract better policies and promises out of opposition parties and more Labour-oriented parties. So in that to that extent, we don't necessarily see large concessions from the Modi government, but what this has done is hardened the resolve of the people to remove the Modi government. You might notice this sometimes even in Australia, you know, where it's like, I'd say the Modi government has reached its last straw stage with a great majority of the population. You know, it's not to get concessions from them, it's to put them over the barrel.
Yeah, it's intriguing, historical, but as you quite rightly say there, Wayne, it's one that obviously speaks to us in a much more global sense right here in Australia and other countries. Do appreciate your time. Do appreciate you having a chat with us about this.
No, look, glad to get the message across. We do find that a lot of these things just are not reported in mainstream media, and these are the big things that are going on in most of the world, and it's not starlets in Hollywood that are making history. It's the 200 million workers in India, and just on before we go is the levels of international solidarity expressed through various trade union councils around the world, through the World Federation of Trade Unions, other unions around the world. So people who are of a kindred spirit and nature, other labour organisations and parties have certainly noted this, and it's a part of a sweeping wave of protests and strikes but it's just gradually starting. The tempo of that's building up in 2019, and it was continuing from 2018. So it may get into the mainstream news, but meanwhile, we'll just have to listen to SER for these things.
I'm afraid so, Wayne. mate, thanks very much. Do appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, all the best, Sean. Yeah, take care and talk to you again sometime in the future.
Absolutely.